This week's parsha, Parsha's Toldos, begins with Rivka marrying Rivka, and the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, that we know they couldn't have kids, and they were praying. And they were both praying to have kids. They went into their own corners. And the Torah says, Vayitzrotzu habanim bekirba. And the children were agitated inside her. Ratomer im kain, with all this pain, u'amaze anochi, why do I need this? Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem. So the Torah talks about the pain of Rivka's childbirth. She prayed to Davin. She prayed. She was like all the other imahos. They couldn't have children, and she prayed because God wanted the prayer of the imahos. And now she became pregnant. It's Vayitzrotzu habanim bekirba. As we'll see from the answer, that there are going to be two kids, it'll be Yaakov and Esav. So the famous question the Welt asks, the world asks, is, we know we have a tradition that before a person is born, an angel comes and teaches the baby in the womb, Kol HaTorah Kulo. So the question is, Rashi quotes that when Rivka passed by a house of idol worship, Esav tried to jump out. And when Rivka passed by yeshiva, shul, so Yaakov jumped out. So that's why they were causing pain. Or as the Bala Yitzhar points out, just very pragmatically, Esav is very hairy, so Yaakov kept on pushing him away. But in the cases, we see that Yaakov is trying to get out and learn Torah at the yeshiva. Perhaps the yeshiva Sheva Aver, we'll see. So the question developed is, why was Yaakov trying to get out and learn if we know we have a tradition, you have the greatest teacher, you have a malach teaching you Kol HaTorah Kulo, the whole Torah. So what is he running to get out? So the Welt answers, with a chavrusa like Esav, you want out of there. With a learning partner like Esav, you want out. In other words, we see the importance of a good chavrusa. Of course, a good shir is important, and that's why when we discussed the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, if there's a conflict, we know there's, on one hand, there's a mitzvah to learn as many hours as possible, the Maisa Limud, and there's another mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, accumulating knowledge. Usually the more hours you put in, the more knowledge you accumulate. However, let's say you have a case where you have a place to learn a block away, and you have a place to learn an hour away. And you like to share, you like the Rebbe in another yeshiva or in a different town. And you're going to learn more in 3 hours of learning in this yeshiva than you would in 6 hours of learning. So the post can point out that the Yediyas HaTorah trumps out. Wherever you're going to learn the most, that's where you should go. So granted, he had the best Rebbe in the world. He had an angel teaching him Kol HaTorah Kulo. Yet we see the importance of chavrusa, good chavrusa, getting the right learning partner. Sometimes it could be just as important as the shir, and sometimes even more important. So it's Vayitzrotzu habanim bekirba. So what's the pshat here? Im kein lama zeh anochi. So there are many explanations, maybe for another time. Rashi, there's a Klei Yakar, the Gra. We'll focus on the Briska Rav. And Rav Chaim Volozhin has a similar idea that the Briska Rav works with, and as we'll see in his answer. So what's the pshat in the Gemara, in the Torah? Lama zeh anochi, what do I need it? So there's an interesting Gemara in Brachas, and Daf Yud Amid Aleph. It's a story between Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu. And basically, that Chizkiyahu's on his deathbed, and there's a discussion, who should visit who? Well, it's pretty hard to go, but because Yeshaya is a Navi, Chizkiyahu melech's the Melech, who gets precedence? Either way, God told Yeshaya Navi to go visit Chizkiyahu. So it says, Ko Amar Hashem, Svosei Laveischa Kimeisa Tal Velosechia. So the pasuk says, for you are dying, kimeis ata, velo sicha, you shall not live. So it's a double language. Obviously, if you're dying, then you're not going to live. They usually go together. So Gemara explains, meis ata ba'olam hazeh. You are dying refers to this world. Velo siya, lo sichya, lo'olam haba. Not only are you going to die now, but you're going to not have a chaluk. You're not going to have a portion in the world to come. So upon hearing this prophecy, Chizkiyahu asked, Amale, my kulei hai. What did I do that I was deserving of such a terrible penalty that I'm not going to get olam haba either? Amale, Yeshaya Navi said, Bishundalo asakta bepira arivya. Because you didn't involve yourself in the midst of having children. Amalei Chizkiyahu said to him, Bishum dechazi li, I have a good reason why. You think I just didn't want to have kids? I'd love to have kids. But you know why I didn't have kids? Bishum dechazi li baruach HaKodesh. Because I saw through Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, the nafka minai benin delo mala. I thought my kids are going to have not such good kids, at least some of them. Like Menashe, he knew he was going to have a Rasha who was unusually wicked, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us. And therefore, he didn't want to have kids. So I wanted to have kids, but since I saw in divine inspiration I have wicked kids, I figured better not to have any kids than wicked ones. So Amalei, so Yeshaya said, Bahadi Kavshe Dirachmana Lamachach. Why do you concern yourself with the hidden things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's none of your business. God gave you a mitzvah pru revu. The Torah gave us a mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. That's your business. My demifkadi bailei lamevad. What you commanded to do, you must do. Umay denechi kamei kusha brichu avid. And whatever God says, that's what you do. It's not your choice to make. It's not a suggestion, Pru-Revu, it's a commandment. So Amalei Chizkiyahu said after hearing this, okay, if that's the reason, Hashta Havli Barata, give me your daughter. And I'll have children. And Efsha de Garma Zechusa di David di Dach, but not Kiminai, but in the Malo. Perhaps if we put both our merits together, we'll end up getting good kids from me. I wouldn't have a Menashe. So Amalei Yeshaya said, Kvar nigzor lagzera. What could I do? The decree of death already has been given. And therefore, marrying my daughter won't help anything. And I don't want my daughter to become a widow. So Amalei, Ben Amutz, Kalei Nuoskov would say, okay, just get out. Finished, I don't finish in the nevuah. It has to do with another principle about the concept of nevuah. There's a concept of different prophecies. Nevuah letova, eino chozer. When you give a prophecy for good, it can never retract. But nevuah lara can. So and the Rambam about making it a public prophecy. So we'll give a separate share on this, but the bottom line is, as long as it's not made public, it's easier to take back. So he says, stop right there. And Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu said, what are you talking about? I have a tradition from my father's father, Avi Ava. Afil cherev chada manuchas el savaro shel adam. Even if you have a sharp sword resting upon a person's neck, al yimna asma min arachamim. Never give up hope. So we know that. So that's the story with Yeshaya Hanavi and Chizkiyo HaMelech. So the Briska Rav says, Chizkiyo HaMelech's logic was sound. Why bring in kids? Better to bring in no one than to bring in wicked people. And by the way, in fact, he realized he'd have good kids also, but he realized he thought the bad would outweigh the good, but he knew he was going to have good descendants as well, and yet he felt, he made his cheshbon that not to. In fact, that's how Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, that they point out that we know the Avos, we have a tradition, the Avos kept the Torah even before it was given. That the Gemara in Yuma, that Avram was Makayim Kohat Torah Kulo, even Erev Tavshilin, we know by the other of us as well, and we have questions. We'll give a whole share on this, about the concept of the Avos accepting the Torah beforehand, and how do you deal with Yaakov marrying two sisters, etc. But there was a major difference with Chaim Volozhin explains. So we do mitzvahs, we do them, because we have to. Gadol HaMetzuah V'Yoseh, God commands us, we do it. When the Avos kept the Torah, they kept it B'Torah Eino Metzuah V'Yoseh. They kept it as someone who's not commanding, like a woman who is exempt from time-oriented commandments, Mitzvah Aseh Shazman Grama. It's praiseworthy to volunteer most mitzvahs. But she's doing it b'toras eino metzuah v'yoseh. She's exempt, and therefore she can't do the mitzvah for a man if she's exempt, if a man is obligated. So the Avos kept the Torah b'toras eino metzuah v'yoseh. And we know if you're keeping the Torah voluntarily, so then you have more flexibility. So they figured out b'ruach ha'kodesh, with divine inspiration, that certain mitzvahs aren't going to give the right results in heaven. So Yaakov figured out, even though I really shouldn't marry two sisters for the Torah, but in this scenario, I have to, because I have to create the 12 tribes. And so on. Each of the Avos had their own cheshbonos. And that was okay, because that was Kodem Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, we had more flexibility. At some point, that the concept of Avera Lishma, doing an Avera for a good reason. So Kodem Matan Torah, that was certainly true. After Matan Torah, it's a little more difficult because we have less flexibility. So they point out here, so the Briska Rav says, really what Chizkiyo HaMelech was telling Yeshaya was correct. It doesn't make any sense to bring in Risham. And even if you can have Tzaddikim, but the Risham will outweigh the Tzaddikim. So the Briska Rav says, no, that's the pshat here. Imkein lama ze anochi. Why do I need all of this? I'm singing Beruach HaKodesh. It's true I'm not going to have Yaakov. I'm going to have Esav also. Maybe better not to have any kids than to bring Esav into the world. And she says, lama ze anochi. I'm not commanded in the mitzvah of having children. The mitzvah pru revu is on the man. As the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, that the Gemara learns out, pru revu v'kifshua, the Torah says, be fruitful and multiply, and you v'kifshua, you shall conquer the land. And the Gemara writes, it's the way of men to fight the wars and conquer the land. So the Gemara learns out, and that's the way we paskin, it's a discussion, the Gemara we paskin, the mitzvah pru revu is on the man and not the woman. And the Mesha Chachma, in Parshas Noach, he gives different reasons behind, what's the philosophy behind it? Why should it? If anything, it's counterintuitive. You would think one mitzvah, if there's going to be one mitzvah, a woman would be obligated, and you think it's having kids, since the woman has the kids. So how could it be that the woman has the kid, but it's not her obligation, it's the man's obligation? So the Meshach Chachma explains, Derachecha Darchei Noam, that the Torah's ways are pleasant. And we all know, well, especially women anyway, I know because I had a kidney stone, so that's the, they say that's the equivalent of childbirth. But women know what the pain of childbirth is. And therefore, it's supposed to be the most painful experience one could have. And therefore, since God's ways are pleasant, or Her Darchei Noam, God did not want to command such a mitzvah that involves so much pain. And therefore, he wanted, and that's why he gave the woman a maternal instinct, a desire to have children, even with the pain. That's why we know the pain so bad that the Gemara Chazal tells us, a woman says, oh, I'm never going to have another kid again after this. I can't go through this pain. That's why, even though having children, having a child is a good thing, she has to bring a karban. She has to bring a sacrifice because of what she said, that she's never going to have another child. But we see the pain of childbirth is terrible. And that's why God didn't want to command them directly. He put the commandment on the man. Obviously, it has to happen through the woman. But he didn't want to command the woman directly because you don't want to command it something which has so much pain. And as well, the Meshach Chokhmah points out also another psychological insight, that if a woman was commanded in Pru Revu in having kids and she couldn't have kids, she'd have to divorce her husband. And let's say a husband she loves. So it would be a very difficult situation. Ah, you'll say, well, what about if a man has to divorce his wife? Let's say they can't have kids. And the answer is, biblically speaking, you don't have to divorce your wife. Biblically speaking, you have many wives. But a woman cannot have two husbands for obvious reasons that you don't know who the father is and the whole issue of yichus. So therefore, because of the psychological sorrow and cause, the distress, a woman has to divorce a man she loves to fulfill Puruvu. Hence God put the mitzvah on the man, who in theory can have many wives, and not on the woman. So whatever the reason, the Meshach Chokhmah gives a physical reason of because of the pain he wanted, it didn't want to give it directly to the woman, or the psychological reason, as the Gemara says, it applies to a man. In fact, interesting is a discussion, when exactly does the mitzvah Puruvu begin? When does a man become obligated in this mitzvah of having children? So usually mitzvahs begin at 13. When you turn 13, you have a mitzvah. That's very interesting, the mitzvah of, well, the mitzvah of tzitzis we do all the time, even when we're younger. But the minhag Ashkenaz of wearing a talis, that doesn't begin until we're married. But Sfardim begin at 13, which makes sense. Why do we begin at when we're married? To that, some point out from the juxtaposition of the psukim that the Torah tells us the mitzvah of tzitzis is put next to the mitzvah of getting married. So we learn out that the custom of not putting on a talis until you get married, even though during those days people used to get married much earlier. But nevertheless, normally mitzvahs begin at 13. So the question is, even though it says Ben Shmona Sheil Chuppa in Pirkei Avos, but we assume the mitzvah to have children is when you turn 20 or in that range. The question is why? What's 20? Where do you get 20 from? Like why not 30? So the Torah Temima suggests and others that 20, because where do we find 20? That when you go to war, the men between 20 and 60, they give a moxie. That's how you did the count. You counted the men between 20 and 60. So since the obligation of Pru Revu is based on the Kivshua conquering, going to war, so since going to war, it begins at 20, the discussion, so you count the men between 20 and 60, so some suggest that's why the mitzvah you wait until 20. And that's what they also point out as well. In the Hasidic Sfarim, they point out that we know a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah. Of course, there are many things a woman is obligated to learn. She has to know how to keep Shabbos, keep the laws of Nida, Taras HaMishpacha, keep Shabbos, Kashrus, etc. So she has to learn those things. But in the learning in theory, this learning for the sake of learning per se, of course she gets the mitzvah if she does, and it's praiseworthy, but she's exempt. So the question is, why is a woman exempt from the pure mitzvah of Talmud Torah? That's what they say in the Chassidus and Svara, because when we refer to learning, we talk about the Mechamto Shel Torah, the war. Like you go into a Beis HaMedrash, you're fighting with each other. No, that's not what it means. What are you thinking? No way, it means this, etc. And it's like a Mechama. We know women are exempt from Mechama. So either way, the Torah, the Gemara tells us, explaining the Torah, the Mitzvah Puravu, that a woman is exempt, and because of a kivshuha, because she doesn't fight the wars, it's part of conquering the world and inhabiting, the populating the world. In fact, there's an interesting Mesha Chachma that says originally women were obligated in Puravu. He writes that originally it's written in Lashon Rabbim in the plural, and then later on it's written in the singular, because originally, why a woman exempt from Puravu? Because of the pain of childbirth. So originally there wasn't supposed to be pain. It was only because of the sin of Adam and Chava. Of Chava, so God gave the pain of childbirth. In fact, that's why there's a minig among especially pregnant women after Sukkot that one eats from the esrog. Why? What's the minig based on? The eat from the esrog tree? So the commentators explain that the different opinions of what was the eighth hadas, what was the forbidden fruit that they could eat. Christians say it was an apple. In Jewish tradition, we say it was grapes, maybe wheat. But one opinion is it was an esrog tree. And therefore, and Chazal tell us that really there was nothing special about the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, and the other trees, except that God, you know, bitter waters are sweeter, and people, and they went after doing something which is forbidden. But fundamentally, Chazal tell us, if they would have waited a little longer, this tree would have been permitted also. So some say there was nothing special about it. It's the fact that they waited too soon. That they didn't wait, they ate it too soon. And therefore, what the minig is based on is, we know the esrog is usher the whole sukkahs. However, so right after sukkahs is over, the first opportunity, the woman takes a bite out of the esrog or has some esrog jam and says, God, take it easy on me in pregnancy, because if I was there, I went to sin. Because why? Because that esrog was so delicious to me, but I waited the whole time until after Sukkot to eat it. So too, if I would have been by the Eitz Hadas, I would have waited till it became mutter. So that's the minig of a woman eating from the esrog after Sukkot. But we see the Mesha Chachma says originally women were obligated because there was no pain. It's only once the pain came into women were exempt. So this is the Briska Rav. So the Briska Rav says, Im kein lama ze anochi, why do I need it? What was the problem with Chizkio? What was the taina? As the Gemara says, the Bahadi Kivsha the Rachmana Lamacha, why do you concern yourself with the hidden things of God? The Bifka Dadi Bayu Hulamevad, what you are commanded to do, you must do. What is found to be good. In other words, only because he was commanded, what he said made sense, except but it's not for you to make cheshbonos. The Torah says to do it, end of discussion. But lama ze anochi, the Brit was saying, but me, Rivka, why did I go through all this pain? I'm not commanded. If I'm going to see it, I'm going to have Esav HaRasha, who needs this? And therefore, I'd rather not have any kids. So it was a good time, and then the Torah goes on explaining, don't worry, it's not one child, you know, it's not a schizophrenic that he runs from one place to tell Yohanan Navi, said there's nothing worse that, you know, they serve God in the morning and they serve the Baal in the afternoon, idol worship. So she said, don't worry, Shnei Goyim and Benek, they're going to be two different nations, etc. And that appeased Rivka. So that's the pshat of the Briska Rav of Lama Zeh Anochi, that really it was a good taina by Chizkiyo HaMelech. Except you're commanded, so we don't understand everything. But Rivka, who was only doing it, Betoris Eina Mitzvah Yoseh, who was not commanded, so therefore she said, Lama Zeh Anochi. In fact, it's not so simple. But even though it is simple, l'halacha, that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah pru revu. However, there's another mitzvah. It's, speaking of Yishaya, in Yishaya there's a mitzvah of l'shevis yitzeru. There's a mitzvah to populate the world. And therefore, we assume women, and perhaps as women as well as Gentiles, are obligated in this mitzvah of populating the world, not the technical. There's a lot more details to the mitzvah pruvu, a boy and a girl, but shevis is any child, even one child, even 10 girls, 10 boys. But so Tosis and Gin discuss two opinions on whether a woman is obligated in the mitzvah in Yeshaya of Lasheris to populate the world. So what's the issue, whether she is or she isn't? So the issue is, it depends how do we view the mitzvah of Shevis. Is the mitzvah of Shevis an independent mitzvah? Nothing to do with Peruvua. It's an independent mitzvah, you have to populate the world. If that's the case, a woman should be obligated. But if Shevis is an extension of the mitzvah of Peruvu, it's a chelak, it's part of the mitzvah of Peruvu, so just like a woman is exempt from Peruvu, she's exempt as well from Shevis. So that's a discussion 2 days in Tosfos on whether a woman is exempt from Shevis. And even if you assume that she is exempt from Shevis, the Ran in Kiddushin says maybe there's another reason a woman is obligated to have kids. Because this, like, we have a principle, like aiding and abetting, many times is used in the negative, a misayeya l'dvar avera, that you aid and abet someone in doing a sin. But there's also a concept, misayeya l'dvar mitzvah, aiding and abetting someone to do a mitzvah. So the Ran writes, it's true she might be technically putter from Puravu, she is, and maybe even Shevis. However, perhaps, but she's involved in the mitzvah of helping her husband perform them. Obviously, the husband can't do the mitzvah without her, and therefore she's a misayeya l'dvar mitzvah. In fact, interesting, some point out a similar concept by Simchas Yontif. There's a whole discussion also, Rabbi Kiva Eger, whether a woman is obligated in Simchas Yontif, having a Suda, Miel's Yontif, and being involved in Simcha. So some point out the same thing, even if she wouldn't, we assume she probably is, but even if she wasn't, what kind of Simcha is for the husband to be without the wife and the child, and how could the wife be happy without the children, the husband? So therefore, even if she's not technically obligated, she'd have a mitzvah, misayel advar mitzvah, some say by Birkas Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim, we all know the mitzvah is for a kohen to bless the people. So we all know there's a mitzvah on the kohen to bless the people. What we don't realize, according to some, is from the implication is that the mitzvah on me to show up in shul, so the kohen has someone to bless. Just like there's a mitzvah of a kohen to bless the people, there's a mitzvah on me and the people that they should be blessed. So even though the Briska Rav is right from Lama Zeh Anochi, she's not obligated in Puravu. However, perhaps in Shevis she is obligated. Even if not, maybe Misayeya. And there are other reasons, other pshatim anyway. Not for now, Lama Zeh Anochi. So we'll stop here, and we'll continue. We'll continue with Toldos later.